tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 23rd of February, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm afraid I still haven't heard anything from Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. The last I heard from him was on Tuesday evening or Wednesday evening last week when he said that he was going to the hospital. I got a message from him when he was at the hospital saying that he was still at the hospital, and I've heard nothing else since. Now, it could be that he had his phone with him and his phone has run out of batteries. It could be that he's just busy with whatever they're doing in the hospital, or perhaps they've diagnosed what the problem is and he's taking a while to think about it before letting us know. But I'm sure he would be grateful for your prayers, and if people want to send him some messages and just letting him know that people are concerned about him, I'm sure he would like that. So I doubt whether we will have an Orthodox nationalist from him this week on Wednesday. Also, Grandpa Dan is taking a week off, so there won't be a parish of the Patriots either. But we will have a special interview with Germar Rudolph for Albion Insights, which I'm hoping to get up on the site on Thursday. I'm due to be recording that with him tomorrow. And on Tuesday, instead of Parish of the Patriots, we have an interview with Mark Collette, done by Jake Shields, who is apparently quite a popular podcaster or channel host at YouTube. So we may have a little bit less content this week, but we also have a couple of new interviews to make up for it. Now, today I want to have a look at what's been happening in France. There was this horrific murder of a young nationalist lad that happened last week, 23-year-old Quentin Deronc, who was attacked by a gang of Antifa, a mob of Antifa. Now, how could this be when I thought Donald Trump had outlawed Antifa as being terrorists. Yet in France, we still have a killing by Antifa. And as we'll see from these articles, it's not just one killing of one person. There are attacks going on all the time. And this reminds me of a Southwest Forum meeting that I went to in Bristol some years back. I mean, it may have been 2015, 2016, as far back as then, or 2017, in actual fact, thinking about it. I think it was just after National Action had actually been banned. And I was at a Southwest Forum meeting, and there were families there, and it was talking about outreach to the homeless. And suddenly a masked mob turned up, wielding motorcycle chains. They may have had bats as well, and thankfully our security managed to see them off. But the first we knew about it was when rocks came smashing in through the windows. I mean, these were people that with like physical violence on their mind, and they were Antifa. And this was reported to the police, and nothing else was done about it. They didn't find them. You think this is the equivalent of aggressive burglary, aggravated burglary, when you try to break in somewhere and wanton violence as well. And they physically attacked the guy that was, there was a disabled man who was in the foyer there with the security, and they attacked the disabled man and he died 6 weeks later. I mean, he had some kind of cancer. He had something seriously wrong with him. I think he was actually the husband of the lady that organized the forum meeting, and he died 6 weeks later. And nothing was done about this. And yet we hear all the time about how white supremacism is the threat and we need to be doing all we can to try and stop this far-right threat. Something like 3/4 of Prevent's cases that they are referred to are from the so-called far-right. And yet we very, very rarely hear of any far-right violence. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a mob of so-called far-right people murdering someone on the left? I mean, you just don't hear of that. But you hear of these left-wing attacks all the time. And of course, Charlie Kirk was murdered by Antifa last year. Well, I'm going to have a look at some articles from Breitbart that are concerning this. This is the first one, and it's about the US ambassador who is being summoned to the Paris government officials to account for what America has said about this. France has summoned US Ambassador Charles Kushner over comments from the Trump administration over the alleged Antifa mob killing of a conservative student in Lyon earlier this month. Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs Jean-Noël Barrot on Sunday condemned comments from the US embassy and top diplomats concerning the death of 23-year-old Quentin Durant, who suffered a catastrophic brain injury after allegedly being attacked by members of a banned Antifa cell in Lyon. Just think about this. The American administration has condemned this attack, and you end up with French ministers then condemning America for condemning this attack. I mean, what are they saying? Are they saying that they support this attack? There were thousands of people out on the streets over the weekend that were protesting against this. It really seems to have ignited a big reaction amongst people in Europe. I mean, this is huge. A young lad, 23 years old, has just been murdered by Antifa. And apparently the cell that he was a part of are apparently banned in France anyway. So why are they then complaining that America is complaining about this? So far, 7 people have been charged in connection to the attack, including 2 former employees of far-left La France Insoumise, that's LFI MP Raphael Arnaud, the founder of the banned Young Guard Antifa cell. So you actually have a political party there. You have a member of parliament who founded a Antifa cell, which is actually banned. So this was carried out by his supporters of a left-wing MP in Parliament. In response, the US Embassy wrote on Friday, the information corroborated by the French Minister of the Interior, according to which Quentin Durant would have been killed by far-left militants, should concern us all. Violent left-wing extremism is on the rise, and its role in the death of Quentin Durant demonstrates the threat that it poses to public safety. We will continue to follow the situation and hope that the perpetrators of these acts of violence are brought to justice. And the French administration thought, we'll have to complain about that. I mean, what is it that they are condemning in that? The description of left-wing extremism as violent? Clearly it is violent. It's left this young lad with his life taken away. I mean, it's quite incredible that the French would condemn somebody condemning this attack. US Under Secretary of State Sarah B. Rogers added, democracy rests on a basic bargain. You get to bring any viewpoint to the public square and nobody gets to kill you for it. And this is really important because some people don't seem to understand why free speech is so essential to have a functioning democracy. Because if you have ideas that people are not allowed to bring to the forefront and not allowed to discuss, then how can you be sure that the best ideas are actually coming to fruition? I mean, democracy is basically the highest number of people that support an idea. The idea that gets the most numbers of supporters is the idea that is supposed to be enacted. But if you are going to say that some people are not allowed to bring certain ideas into the public square to be discussed, then you don't have a functioning democracy, because there are some ideas which you're not actually discussing. And if those ideas were so bad that they wouldn't get voted on, then allow them to be spoken, because then people can destroy the idea and nobody will vote for it. But of course they don't do that, because they know that the nationalist idea is the common sense idea that is based upon natural law and that people will support it. And that's why you have these groups such as Antifa, which just use violence, basically, to shut down the opposition. They cannot stand to hear an opposition voice. And yet they claim that we on the far right are the fascists that won't allow a plurality of views, whereas we're quite happy to have a plurality of views. We're quite happy to debate people. We're quite happy to have a conversation. It's the people on the left that don't want that conversation to even take place. US Undersecretary of State Sarah B. Rogers continued, "This is why we treat political violence, terrorism, so harshly. Once you decide to kill people for their opinions instead of persuade them, you have opted out of civilization. We will continue to watch this case." And I think they've said made some very sensible points there and explained why terrorism needs to be treated so harshly. I guess perhaps the French don't see this as terrorism, even though it is quite clearly political violence. The comments apparently angered Paris, with Minister Barrot responding per Le Figaro, "We will summon the United States ambassador to France, since the United States embassy in France makes a comment on this tragedy, which concerns the national community." I mean, what's wrong with that? Clearly it does concern the national community, because we all have this problem of extreme left-wing violence in our countries. We also have this problem of the media pretending that it's a right-wing threat that we have and not a left-wing one. The top diplomat added that France refuses any exploitation of this tragedy for political ends. So this is what they don't like, the fact that people are saying, well, it was left-wing agitators who attacked a right-wing person. I mean, that's the facts of the case. It's not exploiting it for political ends. It's pointing out the facts of the case. It was a young nationalist that was killed by Antifa. The top diplomat added that Paris does not need to learn lessons regarding violence, particularly from the reactionary international community. The curt response mirrors that given by French President Emmanuel Macron over comments made by Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, who said earlier this week, "The death of a young man in his early 20s, attacked by groups linked to left-wing extremism, and overwhelmed by a climate of ideological hatred that spans several countries, is a wound for the whole of Europe." I think that's a really good thing that she said that. I'm not particularly impressed with Giorgia Meloni, but the fact that she is highlighting this, I definitely support. She said, "No political idea, no ideological opposition can justify violence or turn confrontation into physical aggression. When hatred and violence take the place of dialogue, democracy always loses." I just don't understand why people on the left don't understand that. They seek to shut down the opposition voice with violence. How many times have you seen the sign saying "smash the fash" or "smash Nazis"? And they stand on a platform of no platform, which basically means use violence to prevent the opposition from even speaking in the first place. And they use the threat of violence to prevent people from talking in places like universities, where you're supposed to have a debate about these issues. The whole point of going to university is so that you come across viewpoints that you may not have had before. Whereas nowadays, the whole point of going to university is to be indoctrinated with one particular viewpoint and being taught to be intolerant of any other viewpoint. It's so hypocritical that they talk about tolerance, saying, "Oh, we should have tolerance for these things that are different to us, tolerance for LGBTQ and things like that." And yet there's no tolerance whatsoever for the opposing voice. And all these people on the left that claim to stand for freedom don't stand for freedom at all. They stand for taking away freedom from people, the freedom to express yourself and express your opinion. They don't want people to be allowed to express their opinion. Snapping back, Macron said that Meloni should not be commenting on what is happening in other countries, adding, "Let everyone stay at home and the sheep will be well looked after." So that just shows you how Macron sees his French citizens, isn't it, really? He just sees them all as sheep. I mean, why is he attacking other countries for condemning this? I mean, you would think that he would support this and he would say, this is really good that these other countries are taking an interest in what is happening here and they are offering solidarity with us in saying that this should be condemned. And yet it's not solidarity, is it? Because the French aren't condemning this. They are condemning everybody else for condemning this. I mean, it's rather like this same mentality that locks people up for complaining about being raped by migrants. People that go out and protest because they don't like their daughters being raped and murdered by migrants, they're the ones that get sent to jail for daring to complain about it. And it's the same mentality here, where Macron is complaining about the people complaining about this, rather than showing solidarity with them and saying, thank you for your concern. We will do everything that we can to put a stop to this. And he's not saying that. The Trump administration has taken a keen interest in combating far-left extremism in Europe, including the designation of 4 Antifa cells on the continent as terrorist organizations in November. So that was November 2025. Let's have a look at what they have to say here. This article comes from November. The Trump administration officially classified 4 European Antifa cells as terrorist organizations this week, marking the first international designations after the White House named the America-based branch of the far-left network as a domestic terror group in September. Well, I haven't actually seen any American Antifa groups being shut down. You still see all their comments. I mean, who do you think it is that's agitating all these protests and riots against ICE in America? It's Antifa. The State Department said this week that as of November 20th, 4 radical leftist Antifa groups in Germany, Greece and Italy will be designated as terrorist groups as a part of the Trump administration's commitment to confront Antifa's campaign of political violence. Well, how about they also ban Hope Not Hate or ban Unite Against Racism or any of these other Antifa groups that we actually have in Britain that are also just as violent? I mean, there's a chance of smash the fash and anti-Nazi things that were being said by the people on the left at the Warwick protest. And just the signs that they hold up are violence, are calling for violence against their opponents. How often do you see people on the right holding up a sign talking about violently attacking the left? You don't. You hear people holding up, you see people holding up signs saying, don't rape our daughters, stop the people from raping our daughters. That's what the people on the right protest about. The people on the left, their idea of protesting is to threaten the other group and to try to silence the other group's voice. You couldn't get anything more anti-democratic than that. The far-left groups include German-based Antifa Ost, or Antifa East, also known as the Hammer Gang. There you go, that's a nice name, isn't it? The Hammer Gang, which the State Department said has been responsible for numerous attacks against individuals that it perceives as fascists or part of the right-wing scene in Germany between 2018 and 2023, and is accused of having conducted a series of attacks in Budapest in mid-February 2023. So lest anybody has any doubts that what they mean by smash the fascists, they just ideologically want to do this, Antifa actually went out with hammers and physically attacked people and beat them with hammers. I think they might have actually beat someone to death with a hammer. Die Welt reported that Washington did not consult Berlin before classifying the cell as a terror group, which will see members barred from entering the United States, their assets liable to be frozen and seized, and a prohibition against any American from doing business with them. One of the alleged members involved in the Budapest attack, Ilaria Salas, was held in Hungary under house arrest. However, she was released last year after being elected to the European Parliament to represent her native Italy, which granted her immunity from prosecution. So she was in Hungary trying to beat someone to death with a hammer. And she's now been elected to an MP for the European Parliament. This just shows you how these supposed rebels against the administration, against establishment, they are the establishment. They are the useful idiots of the establishment. Prime Minister Viktor Orban cited the incident in his decision to classify Antifa as a terror group in Hungary. So let's have a look at what Orban had to say about this. In his announcement, Orban highlighted an Antifa attack in 2023 during which they allegedly used hammers to attack a group of supposed far-right attendees of a memorial for the Nazi Waffen-SS soldiers and Hungarian Allied troops who fought the Soviet Union's Red Army during the Siege of Budapest during World War II. And this isn't a memorial for people attacking Britain. This is a memorial for the people that were fighting against the Soviet army. Hungary was occupied by the Soviets, the same as Poland was occupied by the Soviets, and Latvia and Lithuania. And the people in those countries that joined up with the Waffen-SS, they joined up so that they could fight against the Red Army and prevent their countries being taken over by the Soviets. This is why they honour these brave men that fought against them. They're not honouring them because they're Nazis. They're honouring them because they fought against people that were trying to occupy their country. And the unified force that was fighting against Soviet communism, the Bolsheviks, was managed by Germany. It was National Socialists. So the groups that fought against the Bolsheviks, they were the SS groups, and they were the Waffen-SS, which people from other European countries could join. They even had a Waffen-SS, a Muslim Waffen-SS. I forget which country that came from. But they had Qurans that Adolf Hitler gave out. It's not like this was exclusively for white people. It was for anybody that wanted to fight against Bolshevism. Imagine you're being at a memorial service, rather akin to in November when we hold our Poppy Day and we hold a memorial service to the First World War. Imagine that, and a group of left-wing terrorists attack the group armed with hammers. In July, German prosecutors in Dusseldorf charged six other suspected members of the group for membership in a criminal organisation, aggravated assault and attempted murder over the Budapest attack. So they had murder in mind. A further seven members of Antifa East are currently on trial in Dresden, including some for attempted murder. So this idea of smash the fascist, it's not let's smash their argument, it's let's physically kill these people. The upcoming trials were cited by an Antifa cell in Germany as part of their justification for firebombing the car of the leader of the populist Alternative for Germany parliamentary group in the Bundestag earlier this month. So they're not up for having a debate. They don't want to show you the error of your ways and that your ideas are actually wrong. They don't want to show you statistics or anything scientific to defeat your ideas. They literally just want to kill the opposition. Let's have another look here about this attack on Alternative for Germany by Antifa. Militants from a German Antifa cell have claimed responsibility for an arson attack on a leading populist politician's car outside his family home, which was previously doxxed online for leftists by leftists. So this is what happened. This is why they want to dox people, is so that crazies can then go and attack them. This is the point of organisations like Hope Not Hate that try to find out what people's real names are, where they live and where they work, so that they can then dox them online. And then this is what happens. Crazed leftists will then go and physically attack that person, or they'll mount a letter writing campaign to the employer and say, look, if you continue employing this person, we're going to tell people not to use your products. We're going to tell them that you support Nazis and all the rest of it. They will try every dirty trick in the book. They'll write to the bank and get the bank to stop providing banking services for you so that you can't even pay your bills anymore. So they'll get you to lose your job. You won't be able to pay your bills. What they want to see you is homeless. What they really want to see you is in a hospital or in the morgue. And if they can't do that, then they'll try to leave you homeless, as I say, by all these other methods. But this is what happened once this MP from Alternative for Deutschland, once it was said where he lived, they blew his car up. Posting on the far-left platform Indie Media, an Antifa group said that they destroyed the BMW car belonging to MP Bernd Baumann, the managing director of the Alternative for Germany parliamentary group in the Bundestag, with an incendiary device on Monday evening. And this is what they said. Form 1, 2, 3 many hammer gangs. Anti-fascist alert, whether with a hammer or a Molotov cocktail. We don't want to see any sexists, racists or fascists in our city. All you damn MAGA freaks, you will follow Charlie Kirk to hell. the group wrote. So as soon as they designate you with one of these names, one of these ad hominem attacks, then that basically justifies them in beating you to death with a hammer. Among their list of grievances were the upcoming trials of fellow Antifa radicals in Germany and the recent designation of the far-left international network as a terrorist organization by the Trump administration in the United States and Viktor Orban's government in Hungary. So they don't think that they should be punished for this either. You know, this is the reason why they blew this car up, is because the people that tried to murder the grieving people at the memorial, the people that tried to murder them with hammers, were taken to trial for this. This is why they blew this man's car up. They wrote, in times when the everyday murderous racist practices of Nazis, ordinary citizens and cops are constantly increasing, when the military sealing off of Europe, Germany and the USA against refugees is intensifying, and when the US president babbles about loving the smell of deportations in the morning and uses the military against anti-racist protest and resistance, in these times it is urgently necessary to organize militantly anti-fascistically. In other words, to do exactly what the accused Antifa members are now being charged with. So it couldn't be more open than that. What they're doing is they're telling Antifa to pick up hammers and physically attack the people that they disagree with. On Monday, the Hamburg police confirmed that an investigation has been launched into the alleged arson attack, which the force noted impacted several cars, some of which were burned out completely. The police force said that the state security officials have been brought in to take the lead of the investigation. Bowman, that's the MP, told Die Welt that due to being targeted by far leftists, he has had to install steel doors and get a guard dog, saying, "My house is constantly being attacked. My wife is really scared." Imagine that. This is supposed to be a democracy where you're supposed to be able to have protection of freedom of thought, and you're supposed to be able to have protection for freedom of political belief. And yet this man, because of his political beliefs, and this is a man who is a member of parliament, has to install steel doors, and he's terrified that his house is going to be attacked, that he's going to be attacked. I mean, it was only a month or two back that we learned that seven people associated with the Alternative for Deutschland party had actually died that month. Seven of them, all in one month. How suspicious is that? The MP said that just last month his home address was published alongside two other AfD politicians in Hamburg on the same indie media platform by an anonymous author. See, this is why they do this. It's not so that they can expose somebody so we know who he is, because we already know who he is. They're posting his home address because they want people to attack the home address. If possible, they want people to actually murder this man. That's what they're saying. Get hammers and attack people like the Hammer Gang. He went on to accuse the local prosecutor of dropping cases against far-left radicals over claims that the perpetrators could not be identified. But Bowman said that in reality, authorities know exactly where Antifa lives, but there has been no pressure to prosecute them. Of course, they can find out who they are. They can find out anybody in the so-called far right and prosecute them for Twitter posts. Yet they claim they can't find the people on the far left that are going out hitting people with hammers. In a statement, the co-leaders of the AfD party, Alice Wiedel and Tino Chrapalla, said, "An attack on a leading representative of the largest opposition party is a direct attack on democracy in Germany. They expressed hope that the AfD parliamentary group can count on the solidarity and support of the other parliamentary groups in the German Bundestag in the fight against these enemies of democracy." Well, it is unclear how much support the populist party will have from fellow lawmakers, with one party, Die Linke, that's the left, openly chanting the Antifa slogan, "Alerta, alerta, antifascista," as they entered the Bundestag earlier this year following national elections. So the mainstream parties support these violent actions, and they even support it in the Bundestag, chanting support for it. In addition to Germany's Antifa East, the State Department named the Italy-based Informal Anarchist Federation, or International Revolutionary Front, as well as the Greek groups Armed Proletarian Justice and Revolutionary Class Self-Defense as terror groups. The US said that the group FAIFRI, Antifa group, has claimed responsibility for threats of violence, bombs, and letter bombs against political and economic institutions including a courthouse and other, quote, capitalist institutions. The group is also said to be committed to the evolutionary armed struggle against nation states and the fortress Europe. The Greece-based armed proletarian justice and revolutionary class self-defense groups, which are both described as being a collective of anarchist and anti-capitalist radicals, were accused of conducting improvised explosive device attacks against Greek government targets. Antifa, which first emerged in the 1930s as Antifascistische Action, the paramilitary wing of the then German Communist Party, that's the Bolsheviks, has also been accused of sabotage attacks on critical infrastructure across Europe, including on communications networks, railway lines, and police forces. When was the last time you heard of a nationalist blowing up a railway line or downing the power so that a whole section of a city had no electricity, which recently happened in Germany? The Trump administration said this week that the United States will continue using all available tools to protect our national security and public safety and will deny funding and resources to terrorists, including targeting other Antifa groups across the globe. Again, remember that these articles here are from November. That was 4 months ago. And now we have a young lad that's been murdered in France by Antifa. I can recall seeing images of some of these people that were hit by hammers. There was an AFD MP that was hit by hammers in the head and left in hospital. I mean, these groups are absolutely savagely violent, and they should not be allowed, but they are allowed. As you see here, one of their members gets elected to be an MP in the European Parliament. In the German Parliament, the mainstream parties will actually chant support for these violent groups, and yet the members of these violent groups think that they are the alternative. They think that they are the rebels against the establishment. They're not. They're just they're the arm of the establishment that does what the establishment doesn't want to actually be linked to. So the establishment won't actually send out MI5 to physically attack people with hammers. But what they will do is, through the government, they will fund groups such as Hope Not Hate, who claim to be a charity, and they'll give them lots of money so that they can spy on nationalists, again, something that MI5 might have difficulty doing in some instances, but they can allow Hope Not Hate to do these things, and then they can take Hope Not Hate's information, and Hope Not Hate can put it online, what somebody's address is, what their name is, and even if they're just trying to intimidate people by doing that, it's wrong, because there will be nutters out there that will go out and physically attack them. And not just nutters, but people that just fervently believe that they are actually right, and they've been taught to believe that it's fine to physically attack someone if they've been called a Nazi. So all that hate that they feel, all that hatred towards the establishment, because these people claim to be against the establishment, they can then take that out on their target, believing that it's the Nazis that are the cause of all their problems, when in actual fact it's the Nazis that are the state's designated target, and all they are doing is the state's will in going out and attacking them. And you can really see this, that it is it's the establishment and the state's will for these people to be attacked in France, just by the French response to the condemnation of this in America. And it's very sad that this young lad has died, but I am pleased that the Trump administration is condemning this, and also the Italian administration, and also the Hungarian administration. Perhaps this could be some kind of turning point, with thousands of people on the streets in Europe protesting about this, that this was able to happen. Because don't forget, these Antifa groups, they're supposed to be outlawed, and yet they were all there supporting this this French MP, who was one of the people that started off this Antifa group that's been outlawed. You imagine if Alex Davies that started off, or Ben Raymond that started off National Action, do you think they could become an MP in the future? Both of them will never, ever be able to have anything to do with politics ever again for the rest of their lives. And yet in France, you have this group that was banned for being Antifa, for being Antifa terrorists, and the leader of that group is an MP in France, and he was the one that was giving this speech there in this hall that the people on the right were protesting against. The people protesting against it were actually women. It was a women's group protesting against women being raped by migrants. And the nationalist lad was there trying to protect them from physical attacks. I mean, it's just incredible the double standards that we see here. Anyway, our thoughts and commiserations go out to the young lad's family. And we hope that this will shine a spotlight on these attacks. But I won't be holding my breath for France to do anything about it. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.